Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and pray over the Word this morning. Hallelujah. And see what the Spirit has in store. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we share with your people the wonderful Word of God, we look forward to what the Spirit has to say. For that's the purpose of us being here, Father. For those that are not here, we don't understand why, but those that are here, Father, there is a purpose that you will reach them with the word that is spoken. And Father, may they value it and may they act on it. Not hear it, but act on it. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, first of all, if you will, open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been doing some teaching on tests, trials, temptations. We brought out the difference between them. And a trial is a little different than a temptation. A temptation is something that comes at you to control and dominate you, to do that which is not definitely not godly before the Lord. And in a trial, we can't avoid those. That's what life brings. It's a part of life. And regardless of how we were brought into the world, there was nothing, as far as the world is concerned, to guarantee that we would have a fairness to life. But when we become in Christ Jesus, we do inherit a new kingdom that has a promise that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And until we're in His presence, then that's what we can guarantee to have in Him. If you guys hadn't realized, when Keith Hersey was here, he taught a lot of good things. How many of you realize what he was actually teaching? I thought it was very interesting. I had a chance to share with him up in my office, and Keith is one of the ministers you can talk the Word of God with. Some ministers you can't. And some ministers you can argue with. I've never done that. But you realize his message is predicated on the fact of you're going forward in Christ. Because there's another aspect of the gospel that gives us warning to those who are not going forward in Christ. So we have to think of that as well. Amen. And I thank God for the many facet ministries that God has promoted in our time frame, our time period. Amen. I enjoy a lot of the ministers that are not only in our midst, but also on TV. There are a lot of good ministers there. But each one has a flavor of its own for the benefit of the body of Christ. Amen. And so there is no one minister that has a corner on everything, you know, because each minister has its own designated authority. And we'll get to you at the end of the service there. And she has a testimony about her son she wants to share. And so I told her I'd give her the opportunity. But saying that, having said all that, the thing that I want to approach today is what time frame are we living in? Well, whether we realize it or not, we're still living in the time period called the dispensation of grace. How many of you understand what that means? We can't get away from the fact that God has preserved a time period that we live in for the fullness of Christ to manifest itself. And until that mission is accomplished, we don't have to really fear what the enemy has as long as we're pressing in pursuing God. Amen? So we don't have to fear what we face in this realm because God has you covered. Amen? And so with that thought in mind, I want to talk a little bit about what I feel has been left out concerning the ministry gifts that are so necessary for today. And number one, most of us have received good information, good teaching. We still are receiving good information, good teaching on the walk of the Spirit. Now, when I say walk of the Spirit, I'm not referring to being led by the Spirit of God. I'm referring to a walk of the Spirit of God. The difference, and I didn't understand the difference until a precious man had come into our life named Kenneth Hagin Sr. Of course, I love Junior as well, but when that ministry came into our life, it so opened up so much that many of their teachings I bonded to right away. I would not allow them to leave my understanding. And so one of the things that he taught, and he has a book out, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. But in teaching how to be led, he brought out the difference between a walk of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. And he said the walk of the Spirit is where you deliberately go into the Word of God, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, and you literally find the revealed will of God. And in the revealed will of God, he says you can guarantee that you can take the revealed will of God and walk in that. And he said, that's what you call a walk of the Spirit. Now, it's too bad our translators had not gotten it correct between the big S and the little S. So that when you're in Scripture, a lot of times you can't tell whether he's talking about the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. But there is a difference. You got to remember, in the Greek language, they either had upper cases or lower cases. And so they didn't make a distinction between a big S and a little S. Our translators gave it that to us. Our translators mean those who took one language and put it in our language. And sometimes they didn't transfer it correctly. So sometimes the text has to determine whether it's a big S or a little S. And so when he was talking about a walk of the Spirit, he was referring to that which a man walks in his human spirit as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. And so God goes to work in your spirit so that in your spirit you can process the kingdom of God, and then the fruit of it will manifest on your branch, which is your body of flesh. Now, he talked about this walk being an instruction for all of us to be able to walk in. But what I thought was very interesting is we got down to the term being led of the Spirit of God. And I never picked it up until I heard him teach on it. And finally, it just was like a light bulb went on me. He said, being led of the Spirit is different than the walk of the Spirit. He says, because of the walk of the Spirit, you can go into your Word and you can find definite instructions how you're to walk out certain things in our life. But he said, being led of the Spirit is a more personalized thing. That's where you can't go into Scripture and open up a section that says there, Jan Butler, and read about how Jan Butler is to be led personally of the Spirit. You can't find that in any Scripture. Now, some people seem to think they do. They find themselves in Scripture. But most of the time when that happens, they go squirrely. John Cook said that he's known a few that have actually gone into the Word of God and found themselves there. Kind of like, you know, the only person I know that could do that would be Jesus. Because he can interpret the prophetic from the old to the new and said, that's referring to me. But we can't do that today for us. And so being led of the Spirit is very, very unique in itself. And so it is impossible for you not to stumble if, first of all, you don't understand how to walk in the Spirit. If you understand how to walk in the revealed will of God, then it makes it much easier for God to lead you by the Spirit. Wouldn't that be, I mean, that's what you call practical, good Bible sense. If you can't walk in the Spirit, then how do you expect to be led of the Spirit? You know, there are some people I ran into in my walk with the body of Christ that amazed me. How they claim they know a walk of the Spirit. No, they've never really claimed that they could walk in the Spirit. It was always being led of the Spirit. And yet you look at their natural life and it's a mess. Now, if they're such keen, sharp, being led of the Spirit people, then why ain't their fruit more of being led personally by God? Let's go back to Keith Hershey. Keith, come back! Now, what has helped me, in spite of all the negativity, all this negative preaching, whatever it is that people do, there are certain things that certain people have given me in my life that have helped me immensely to try my best to stay on track with God. One of them being Kenneth Hagin, teaching me the walk of the Spirit versus the leading of the Spirit. That helped me tremendously. But I'm beginning to see a tremendous lack, especially in our charismatic churches. It has me a little concerned, is the fact that the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry gifts and the one body and the walk of love are not amplified like they should be. We should go back to some very basic understanding that whether you're a church or whether you're an evangelist or a pastor or teacher, whatever it is, there are basic principles in our life that are so key and so important for the body of Christ that we as leaders should not stray away from them. And I'm seeing a little straying away from the charisma of the Spirit of God. And we've got to stay with the charismatic aspect of the Spirit of God. Now, what do I mean by the charisma or charismatic aspect? Well, I'm talking about not only the ministry gifts, but also the power gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. So if you will look at 1 Corinthians 12, go to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, or that all may profit thereby. And so we see that the ministry gifts of the Spirit are very much intact today. I don't care what person said they passed away. They have not. They're very much intact today. And the purpose or the reason for them is because it is the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they're designed for one purpose. And that is for all of us to profit by. Amen. And so we find it right here. Very, very plain. But the ministry gift comes from one God. Because you'll find that in verse 6. They're given from God. And they have not passed away. There's no teaching in the Bible. And yet I've heard ministers say they've passed away. And now the charismatic aspect of the kingdom of God has lost its flavor when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the reasons why is because there have been ministers in the past that have picked up on the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not talking about ministry gifts. Ministry gifts is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which is given to the body of Christ to bring the body of Christ to maturity so that you can do the work of the ministry. And so when I'm talking about the gifts of Spirit, I'm referring to what is mentioned here. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And these are what we call the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. And it does bother me that when I talk to other ministers, be encouraged to develop in the gifts of the Spirit. Be encouraged to do that. Because for one thing, it is very clear in the Word of God that the ministry gifts were given by one Spirit from God for the profit of all of us. So when you cut them off, nobody profits by it. And John Cook brought something up that I never really faced all that much with in the kingdom of God, because we always dwelt with our own company, our own kind. We never dealt with religious things in the past, because Sue and I were always being led by the Spirit of God for our, even our mentorship, our teaching. And so we wasn't raised in church. We came, our background was sin. Somebody asked what denomination you're from. Sin? Well, is that a denomination? Well, to me it is. You know? But John was telling me that he saw, I forgot to ask you what time period, he saw where many ministers begin to move away from the gifts of the Spirit, predicated on the fact that the ones that were operating in the gifts of the Spirit were weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of the pastors didn't want the flow of those ministry gifts because they were embarrassed about the outcome of the operation of the gifts.
Right.
I've never had that trouble in our church. I've had trouble with people operating in a false gift. But I've always dealt with it. But every time I've dealt with somebody on weirdness of the gifts, ministry gifts, I'd lose them. And that shouldn't be. I don't want somebody to get up here and prophesy about peanut butter spread on bread and start relating that to the body of Christ. I had to deal with that one time publicly, and it was embarrassing. It is embarrassing. But you know what? I'd rather be embarrassed for somebody's wrongdoing than God's right doing in giving us the gifts. And leaving it to the responsibility of leadership to discern whether they're good or not. And it's, and you said it always fostered fear of losing people. And you know something, people? If I have a fear in me that I would lose you, goodbye. If I'm sticking to the Word of God and you leave me because I stuck to the Word of God, you'll have to work with that, not me. I'm already working with it. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And there is nothing that tells me in Scripture that they've been done away with. Now, I know that when you get to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, you get down to, I forgot what verse it is, whether there be prophecies, whether it be this, whether it be that, they'll all be done away with. And they use that passage that the gifts of the Spirit have been done away with. And the text does not even refer to the gifts being done away with. It's talking about that when the ministry gifts begin to operate in the body of Christ, whether it be a prophecy, whether it be a tongue or an interpretation of tongue, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit given in partiality, not completeness. Are you following? And so as you're growing in the Lord, you know, hey, people, you know, when you got born again, guess what? You came out of the womb of God.
Amen.
And guess what? You're not a 23-year-old.
Right.
You're a baby.
Yeah.
And so God gave the ministry gifts to the body of Christ to help you grow up.
Amen.
Have anybody heard about growing up? I know some people, oh, shut up, John. I know some people, you swear they don't know what growing up means. And so these ministry gifts are given in part to keep you on track or online as you're an infant in Him. They're there to profit you. Some of you might need a word from God. How many of you would like a word from God?
Yeah, sure, right.
Yes, amen. I don't care how old you are. I want a word from God. Well, I'm giving you a word from God. But it's so nice that as you're ministering and all of a sudden God begins to speak to you and you recognize it and you go to somebody and you say, you know, I have a word of wisdom for you. I don't know about you, but when I was young in the Lord, I loved a word from my daddy. And so I gave you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, whatever that is, for you to profit by. And I got news for you. God will never air your dirty laundry. I've had some people come and give a prophecy to somebody and they said, I wish they hadn't. Huh? You want a word from God?
Yeah. He's got to be led.
Thank you. See, you were trying to get me to foster one up, and I was working on one. She said you had to be led. I have some lead I can give you. Anyway. But so when you get this partial insight, it encourages you. It motivates you to go on. You know, I don't care what sermon you preach. If somebody comes to you and begins to minister that gift to you, that encourages you. It fires you up. You know, it edifies you. It moves you to go forward. Matter of fact, when there's a lack of that in the body of Christ, boy, how you limit God for His people. You know, you do limit them. You have to have a word for them. And it helps them to keep on track. And then he goes on to say that whether it was a tongue or a prophecy, it was given in part. But when that which is mature, perfect has come, then that which is in part is no longer valid. Right. If you've been given a prophecy and you've walked up to the prophecy and through the prophecy, then the prophecy has no more meaning to you. Therefore, it's set aside. But how many of you know you still have the road of time to walk down and there'll be another prophecy, another word, another gift for you? Are you following me? It helps you. Sometimes in the body of Christ, I've ministered to past more when I was in the evangelistic mode rather than pastoral. But many times I've gotten in meetings and I've seen darkness on people, a blackness on them. I've gone up and I've laid hands on them and I've set them free. But I didn't acknowledge it openly that they had a spirit. Because some people freak out. But I had what you call a discernment. A discerning of spirits. And so I went on and I laid hands on them. And I'd see that blackness leave. And right away they'd come back and say, I don't know what it was that you did. But when you laid hands on me, something lifted off of me. And I feel like I can breathe again. I feel like life has come back into my life. I feel like I got new faith, new hope, new direction that I never had before. What was it, Pastor, when you laid hands on me? What was it that caused me to feel that? Yeah. Well, now I can tell them why. I saw black all over you. A darkness. And then when I prayed, I saw it leave. And you know what they told me? One person told me, boy, I'm glad you told me that now, not then. Because, you know, if you told them they had a spirit on them, a blackness, you know, they might have freaked out at that time. But, you know, you have that what you call discerning of spirits. Sometimes you get that in the area of gifts of healings. Kenneth Hagin talked about one time a lady coming down the aisle. And all of a sudden she was transparent and he saw little monkey-like creatures hanging on her lungs. And so he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he laid his hands on and the little creatures fell off of her and ran down the aisle. She was healed of cancer of the lungs. Hallelujah. Terminal diseases. How many of you know that these gifts are wonderful to have? But do you know what? They're called upon by the Spirit of God for you, the body of Christ, not me, the minister. So if they don't come to me, it's because they're not, I'm not being pulled on by you. See, if you're progressing in God and you need a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or discerning or a prophecy, see, that all has to come out of motivation of your heart, not mine. All I can do is sit there and cry out, God, use me more in the gifts. Use me more in the gifts. But then you have a Mike Golda come along and say, give me a word. And if I don't have it, the only time I would have a word from Mike Golda is I'd be led by the Spirit. You know, it's amazing how you can go to some churches and hear a good word of God. And we'd begin to minister, meddle with the congregation and the people in it. And how they all said, well, there's no move of God here. There was no gifts in operation. I'm not coming back here. Well, what about the teacher, the ministry of a teacher? What about the ministry of a pastor? Don't they validate the fact that God could be present in a service? You know, God, when He puts a message together in my heart, He doesn't with the assumption of having a move of God in the gifts, although He does design it that way sometimes. But really what He does, He knows what every one of you needs, so He designs a message in my heart specifically for you because you're going to need it for that week or that time period. So you might miss God altogether. So Mike Golder, you're getting a word. Just not personal. Oh, Mike, let me seek you out. Give you a personal word. Oh. Nah, you ain't getting... No. And so, you need a move of God. You need a move of the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you have been in financial strait. And God can give you a word to encourage you. But you know something? Just because you get a prophecy doesn't mean that it has to come to pass. Because if you get a word of, let's say, a financial blessing, a word of wisdom will follow that usually. Providing you do. Providing. See, there's always a condition. But God doesn't prophesy something to you that guaranteed to come to pass. You have to begin to walk in the wisdom of God for that thing to come to pass. Then the ministry gifts. How many churches have you found where they said that the only ministry gift that's left is a pastor? That's not true. There are evangelists, pastors, teachers, evangelists. How many of you know that prophets? You know, they all work through the body of Christ to develop the body. And so they haven't passed away. You'll find the ministry gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and or the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and the ministry gifts are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And in 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says they're all ministered by one body, not through denominationalism. Through one body, which is called the body of Christ. So it's one body that they're ministered through. So if someone wants to deny the ministry gifts, then they're denying a part of the body of Christ. But I said all that to say this. If you will, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want us to go to a verse that is so important. You know, I forgot how long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Kenneth Copeland's, we had him at our church. Oh my gosh, 69 years old and my mind's got to come back. Oh, what's his name that's with Kenneth Copeland all the time? Who? Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle, about 2 or 3 years ago, had a manifestation of Christ. Had a visitation, from what I understand. I don't know anything about it. But God impressed upon Jerry to go back to the body of Christ and tell them, they're falling way short in my love. That the love of God has to develop and grow in our hearts as we walk with Him. And if the love of God isn't growing in your hearts, you will not only not care for him, you won't care for the body of Christ because they go hand in hand. So as you develop in the love of God, you develop also in the love of the body of Christ. And that's 1 John. But notice verse 31. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek. Verse 31. But desire eagerly. But desire eagerly the greater gifts. But desire eagerly the greater gifts. And yet I show you a way according to excellence. That's what it says in the Greek. Now, translators don't put it that way, but they kind of give you that indication. But it says, but desire eagerly the greater gifts. Well, what is happening to us as a charismatic church? You challenge ministers, where is their desire for the greater gifts? Mm-hmm. See, we have to challenge ourselves to think along them lines. Is that desire really growing in us? But here Paul says, even though you desire eagerly the greater gifts, he says, I want to show you a way according to excellence. And so then he literally tells you a complete new application that God introduced to the world about the word agape. And that concept of a whole new application was first manifested in Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. People heard him in a way they've never heard any man speak, because all they knew was the love of God from the concept of man and not God himself.
Right.
And it literally stunned them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Well, that's a concept I never heard of before. And so when you get into 13 here, he's expressing the more excellent way, a way of excellence. Then he comes down at verse 8 and says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. That word fail means become useless. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. That means power, which literally means come to a pause, not end. Will come to a pause. And he says, whether there is a knowledge. Now, the people, do you know of any time there ain't going to be any knowledge? He's talking about a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. Notice, it will vanish. The word vanish literally means to become useless, no longer active to serve its purpose. He's not talking about the gifts of spirit done away with. He's talking about when you get a personal, what? A personal tongue, a personal prophecy, a personal word of knowledge. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, it means the whole measure of what you need to know has come to you, then that which is in part will be done away with, or it will no longer have any value to you because you're moving on.
Amen.
Not because the gifts of the Spirit ceased.
Right.
Quit. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. I declare boldly that the gifts of the Spirit are here and they will remain here until the church of grace is removed. And if you don't like it, guess what? He won't plague you with it. But I like what he said about love being the way of excellence. Then he comes back to the gifts of the Spirit. And what is he doing? He's validating that love will cause you to to grow up. When I was a child, I thought like an infant. I spoke like an infant. But when I grew up, I learned to put away childish things. He didn't say the childish things were the gifts. The childish things was a lack of understanding in knowledge, a prophecy that he had dire need of that served its purpose. He wasn't saying prophecies were done away. He was saying that God completed that part for me. The gifts profited me. See. But we need to wake up. But the reason for these ministry gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, were given for the purpose of keeping us on track while we're growing in God. Are you guys getting something here? Hallelujah. 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 You know, I'm not speaking against those who claim they're prophets today. But I sure haven't been impressed. I'm going to tell you, a lack of understanding of the ministry of a prophet. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Kenneth Hagin, I go back to my mentor again. He taught about the ministry of a prophet. And I'm going to tell you something. When we lost him, we lost a great value in spirituality. Because when he taught about the ministry of a prophet and how they minister and how they speak and how they do things, man, I tell you people, it has kept me on track. I don't care who says what. God has always been big in my heart because I've listened to the right people who qualified to lay a good foundation in me. I enjoy the ministry gifts. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy a lot of the ministers that speak. I don't want to come across like I've found the key to be the only one that has insight. That's not true. A lot of good ministers speaking to. I'm going to tell you, the ministers that are speaking to the world today on TV, a lot of them are saying things that are awesome. They are saying good things. Gee, if economical movement would just get a hold of what is being said on TV, we'd be a whole lot better off. So you enjoy these ministers and what they stand for. Even though you have your favorite ones, it doesn't matter though you have 10,000 instructors. You got to learn how to be where you're at under that anointing for it to work in your life. So important. So important. Matter of fact, we can't stop learning. John and I and my staff, I got a bunch for my staff, we all stretch ourselves to learn something again, learn something more. Matter of fact, whenever we hear about something fresh or something new, we all run together like little kids, you know, and we gossip the gospel. We share it with one another. And sometimes God reveals things to us that's so opposite of what you'd think in the natural. Then we all sit and spin about a little bit, but once we meditate on it and grasp it, we get it. Isn't that right, Tammy? We get it. But the Word of God is the only thing that's going to cause you and I to grow up. I don't care what prophecy you get. All it'll do is give you guidance. But in the meantime, God's going to work in your heart to grow up. And you can't do it intermittently. You have to be consistent with what you hear in order for it to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think everything that I've learned on an individual basis, I learned it because I never heard it once. I learned it because I bonded to it. So that when I share the Word of God, then I don't share something contrary to what I bonded to. I keep going in one direction. Sometimes I hear somebody preach a real dynamic message. Then I heard them preach a message that was just the opposite of what they preached. And I said, well, Lord, how can they preach that kind of message when they preach this one? He says, because they don't have the revelation. They haven't bonded to the one over the other. Remember my brother-in-law, Mick? He's went on to be with the Lord. So he's up in heaven now hearing this. But we had a convention, me and Dave and Mick Larson, we had this convention. We were in it. And because I've always bounded to things that I've learned, I always kept going in one direction. And Mick preached a message on faith that made my hair stand on end. Man, I could believe for all of heaven to come down and guide me through life perfectly. My faith was so fired up. And he had the last message for the service and preached just the opposite. And I sat there and I went, how could he do that? He said this. Now he's saying this. And that's when the Lord told me, you have to bond to what you know. Whether it's right or wrong, if you bond to, at least you're going in one direction. If you're going out of the right direction, at least somebody can stop you and say, turn around, go the other way. But if you don't know which way you're going, boy, that can be real confusing. Where are you at now? I don't know. Oh, where do I need to go? Over here. Oh, okay. I found that when you're a nomad, the only thing that will stop you from being a nomad is for you to find home. Find where you fit, belong, and be a part of it. So, not only have we had the best of God for a walk of the Spirit, we need to desire the fullness of God to work in our church. So that not only would we have a walk of the Spirit, we would be led of the Spirit. We would have the ministry gifts working in our midst. And ministry gifts, we would be one body with God. And we would walk in love with one another. You can't put God on pause and carry on natural life when you're a spiritual being in Him. Did you guys get something? Father, everyone in this facility is going to have a safe trip home. And Father, I thank you for their coming and being a part of the body this morning. We look forward to tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The victory is yours.